Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Hi, this is Bill, and welcome to this week's episode of Real World Fitness. I've got another great show for you. I'm going to make a few announcements, tell you what's coming up in the near future, and then we'll get to this week's interview. First of all, let's talk about what we've got coming up in the future. Next week, we have a very special interview with one of my personal heroes, a gentleman named Bill Pearl. He is a 5-time Mr. Universe winner. He is considered by many people as the greatest bodybuilder of all time. And I interviewed him a few months back, and I wanted to save this interview for a special occasion. And since next week is my birthday, I decided as a little self-indulgent birthday present to myself, we would post this interview then. Bill is 84 years old, obviously no longer competing, but still in fantastic shape. He has practiced a vegetarian lifestyle since the late 60s. And he's a really interesting, articulate, and classy gentleman, and we'll have that great interview next week. The following week, we'll have a gentleman that many of you probably know named Mike Calvo. Mike came to me recently, very excited about his experiences with CrossFit. Mike and I have talked in the past about working out and weight training and so on and so forth. I was about to say about the same age, but Mike's about 10 years younger than I am. And we've talked about strength training and weight training and bodybuilding, and Mike just wasn't really into what he was doing, and he's discovered CrossFit, and he's enthusiastic and excited, and he wanted to share his experiences with you as a blind CrossFitter. Mike and I don't agree about everything, but we had a great conversation, a little give and take. I voiced some of the things I have concerns about with CrossFit, and he voiced his opinions, and I'm sure you'll all enjoy it. CrossFit is great for some people. It's just like I always say, it doesn't matter what you're doing as long as you're doing something, whether it's running or swimming or biking or weight training or CrossFit. You just got to find the thing that's right for you, and that apparently is the one that's right for Mr. Calvo. We'll be talking to him about that. Then we've got two more shows lined up after that. One is with Brooks Kubik and Clarence Bass. We're going to have two guests on. Brooks and Clarence have both been guests of mine in the past, and somehow when I'm interviewing Brooks, Clarence's name always pops up in the interviews. And when I interviewed Clarence, somehow Brooks' name popped up, so I decided we might as well get these two guys together. They have a lot in common, and there's some interesting differences. They're both attorneys. They've both been training with weights for virtually their entire lives. Brooks is in his late 50s, and Clarence is in his 70s and still in fantastic shape, and we're going to be talking about fitness, strength training, nutrition, and living a long, healthy, and hopefully pain-free life. Now, the last one I want to mention is a really cool one that a lot of you are going to be excited about. I know I have some wrestling fans out there. And I mentioned last week I was trying to make some arrangements to have some WWE / WWF personalities available to interview. And I had a great lengthy phone chat yesterday with a gentleman that I'm sure many of you remember named Bob Backlund. Bob's a really cool guy. I had a lot of fun talking with him. And we had to go through the WWE because he's under contract to them under what they call a Legends contract. And we got their approval, and we're going to record that interview and have that up for you sometime in early June. Bob's 65 now, and he's still in fantastic shape. He has accomplished some amazing things with fitness and exercise, and we're going to talk about his fitness regimen and talk a little about his career in the ring and whatever else just happens to pop up. You know how my interviews go. It's more of a conversation than an interview, so we'll let it go where it goes. Now, my guest today is a young lady named Laurel Blackburn, who is the owner of Tallahassee Kettlebell and Boot Camps to Go. And she is a senior RKC instructor. RKC is the Russian kettlebell certification. She was one of the assistant instructors teaching at my kettlebell certification back in October. And Laurel worked with me and was instrumental in making sure I got through that certification successfully. And we'll be talking with her in just a little bit. Before we get to Laurel, I wanted to make one request of everybody out there. I would really like y'all, when you're on Facebook, and I know a lot of you frequent Facebook, to stop by my fan page, Kosiaba Fitness, and take a moment and like the page. I'd really appreciate that. I know a lot of you have gone to my website, kosiabafitness.com, and have checked out all those new downloads that I've put on there, and I hope you're enjoying them. For anyone who hasn't, I've taken many of the Audible downloads that I had created for the blindcafe.net listeners and posted them on my website. So if you go to kosiabafitness.com and click on free stuff, you'll find a total beginner's workout, a little bit more advanced one that's totally focused on stretching, another one that offers some great neck exercises to help alleviate stiffness and pain, and some more stuff. As I say, many of you have already taken advantage of these, and those of you that haven't, well, check them out. They're totally free, and they're very, very beneficial. I'm going to say right here, please excuse the audio quality. I started out really, really not too clear on what I was doing, and I was just happy to get them recorded. So some of them, the audio quality is kind of iffy. It gradually improves with time. Now, I wanted to mention the book I'm reading this week. It's really kind of cool. It's called Life. It's Keith Richards' autobiography, along with a gentleman named James Fox. And it's interesting to me because, as many of you know, I was reading Mick Jagger's autobiography a week or two ago, and now I'm getting to see same events through two different people's eyes. As most of you know, I'm sure, Keith and Mick are the core, the backbone of the Rolling Stones, and have been for over 50 years. Wow, they've been together longer than most marriages. And it's just really interesting to read both of their biographies and see how the two of them view different situations that they were both in. Some of these situations, I'd swear they weren't even in the same place at the same time. Makes it more fun. I picked this book up, same place I've gotten all of my reading material recently, audible.com. And you can pick up a copy of it, or any one of thousands of other books, by going to audiblepodcast.com/Saratalk and signing up for a free 1 month trial. And with that free 1 month trial, you can download any Audible book that's on the site, and there are literally thousands. This particular one was narrated by Johnny Depp, which makes it kind of cool. And some of the books I've seen on there, actually, there's multiple versions narrated by different people. So you kind of, which guy's voice do I like better? So that's once again, audiblepodcast.com/Saratalk. And now let's get to this week's interview. I met my guest today back in October when I went to the Atlanta area to get my kettlebell certification. There were an odd number of participants in the workshop, and we were pretty much paired off for most of the day. She was also assigned to me to kind of make sure I didn't miss anything that was going on visually. She basically kicked my butt all day long, but we had a lot of fun, and I wouldn't have passed the certification without her. That day, I did not pass. And had to do a little extra homework and passed it later. The one thing I did say to her and the lead instructor that day was, don't cut me any slack because I'm blind. Cut me some slack because I'm old. And nobody cut me any slack at all. And my guest today is Ms. Laurel Blackburn. Hi, Laurel.
Hey. I'm ready.
Let's start with your background. I know you've been working out for a very, very long time, because I know I knew your name as a competitive bodybuilder back when I was in the gym business in the 80s and 90s. So when did you first start working out? How did you get there? And, you know, what got you hooked on the iron?
Gosh, I can't remember when I started, but I actually had a personal trainer probably 21 years ago. I was doing all cardio and I got a trainer and started lifting some weights and responded pretty quick, building muscle. And then, you know, people at the gym were like, you should compete. So I was like, okay. So I started competing in bodybuilding. I think my son may have been 2. So that was 18, 19 years ago.
Okay. That was run right around near the end of my run of promoting competitions. But I know, and I told you when we met, I know your name from a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
Were you athletic growing up? I mean, were you into sports, or before you even got into the gym situation, were you an athlete?
No, I was not. I hated exercising, tried to skip PE as much as I could in high school. It was not my thing.
Okay, so then you had hired a trainer in the early 90s just because you wanted to be in better shape and you knew you couldn't do it on your own, and then it just progressed from that point.
Right. I mean, I think I've basically, before that, did like running and like, you know, tried to do those little aerobic things at home. And it was mostly like to lose weight or try and be skinny, but definitely wasn't interested in lifting weights. My sister was, and she had bodybuilding magazines. And I was like, those women are disgusting. I don't know why you'd ever want to look like that.
Little did you know that not too far in the near future, you looked like that.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of hard work, though. Jeez.
Well, so then everything that you could safely say that it didn't come to you easily or naturally.
No, it did not. I definitely, once I started lifting weights, though, and still to this day, I would much rather lift weights than do cardio. And I had a workout partner that loved cardio and loved running that didn't like the weights, and I liked the weights and didn't like the cardio. So we actually really balanced each other out with that. So she was like the perfect workout partner for me.
You pushed each other through the part of it that you hated.
Exactly.
When did you go from hardcore conventional weight training and bodybuilding? How did you discover kettlebells?
I think when I started my business in 2005, I saw them online or something, and I, you know, looked at pictures. I don't even know, I was watching YouTube back then, but pictures, and heard of people using them. And I ordered one and tried to figure out what I was doing from the internet. And then, of course, unfortunately, started using them with my clients without knowing anything. And people actually got hurt, you know, they'd hurt their back or their shoulders. I realized there's probably a lot more to this than I thought. And that's when I started looking for certifications so I could, you know, use them and teach them correctly.
Okay. Well, let's backtrack just a little. You say when you started your business in 2005, let's talk about exactly what that, well, actually, let's step back further. What were you doing before you started the business? And then tell me about what the business was about.
Yeah, I was a personal trainer, 1998. I worked at a women's gym in town. And it was just, you know, the regular, they want you to sign people up for the most expensive thing. So it was like those hour sessions, which drove me crazy because I'm not going to spend 10 minutes like, oh, you got to warm up on the treadmill and then, you know, do all this stuff. I did that for a couple years, and I don't know, it just was boring to me. And I, again, on the internet, started reading about like people doing boot camps, and it was just getting really popular. And I was like, you know, I want to try that. So I quit the gym, and I started by renting grass in front of a gymnastics gym. And he charged me $25 a class. And I started with 5:30 p.m. class three times a week, and it filled up so fast. I started adding more classes. We were still outside, and then I rented an 800 square foot like storage area connected to the gymnastics place. Outgrew that, rented a place that was, I think, 2,300 square foot. Did that for a couple years, and then rented a 5,600 square foot place. And we've been there for, gosh, 5 or 6 years. And then a couple months ago, I expanded and opened a powerlifting only gym. So it's grown.
That's awesome. So that when you first started and you were holding classes out on the grass, that was totally body weight stuff, right?
Yeah. I bought like a kettlebell. I had bands. I would like make my own sandbags. I'd, you know, find a log off the street. You know, I just tried to make it body weight and some type of circuit things with, I couldn't afford a lot of equipment and had nowhere to put it either. So basically every time I made money, I would like buy something like new bands or some dumbbells or something so I can keep adding different things to it.
Well, you see right there, that just shows me that even though you started out with not really knowing what you're doing, but having an idea, it shows me that you had good business sense, because a lot of people take money out of their business as they make it, and you were putting that money back into it to make it a better business.
Right. Yeah, I didn't pay myself for a long time.
I know the feeling. Believe me, I know the feeling. There were many weeks where I paid the guys that worked for me in the gym, and I went, okay, I can buy lunch this week if I'm lucky.
Yes.
So you've been doing this for 10 years. You're still doing the boot camps, the kettlebells, and now you've opened the powerlifting gym, which in a city like Tallahassee makes sense. You've been recognized a lot locally from what I saw on the internet. So you've been successful and you've been recognized in your community a lot. Could you expand on that?
Yeah, I can't remember how long we had been in business, but I'm sure it's after I moved into one of our buildings, because we were the first ones doing these like boot camps in town. I actually hired my brother to help me, and you know, we won like a best fitness program award. Joined the Chamber of Commerce, which was really important. We won New Business of the Year. One of the things I did is we stayed involved in the community, whether it was through fundraising, service, you know, working with Special Olympics, donating time and services to different parts of the community. And to me, that's really what helps not only grow the business, but just to get your name out in the community.
Which is a very, very important thing. A lot of business owners don't recognize you have to do a lot of things that cost you time and may cost you money to give you success in the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
You did one very, very interesting thing that you brought to my attention when we first met, that you found a really interesting way of expanding on your classes by learning another language.
Ah, sign language?
That would be a language, my friend.
Yep. I'm not great at it, but over the years, we've actually had deaf clients come to boot camp, and that was the first time I've ever worked with anyone with any sort of like disability. We had a group traveled like 90 minutes each way to come to boot camp, and one of my clients was actually an interpreter for one of the colleges here. And her son came, so she helped me and my brother learn how to communicate. I mean, I'm definitely not fluent, but I had to learn workout words like stop, go. And then that got crazy because a lot of times I was forgetting to use my voice. So all the hearing people had no idea what I was saying, but the hearing impaired people knew what I was saying. So, you know, if you yell go, or sign the word go, and you've got one person going, but you didn't say go, everyone else is standing around. So, and
I never
also
thought of
told,
that.
Yeah, and I also told my deaf clients, because the sign for water and wine is similar, So instead of taking a water break, I was telling them to take a wine break. I mean, so it was
I'm sure that made you popular. Glass of wine in the middle of your kettlebell workout sounds like fun.
Yeah. The best thing about working with like deaf or hearing impaired is like, I think I was more scared than they were that they would be uncomfortable or that they would be impatient with me. But I found that they were so happy to share their deafness that they would actually, we would spend some time after class where that person would teach something, sign language to the rest of the class, and everyone really liked it, you know, and they laughed when I messed everything up. But they were really into teaching and sharing their culture and very proud of their culture. So that made me as an instructor feel more comfortable. And I think it was the same with you, working with you. You probably made me feel way more comfortable about working with you than you realize, just because it wasn't a big deal to you. So I was like, oh, okay, I'm not going to stress out about this.
Since you brought that up, I have to ask you, when Beth told you, oh, there's going to be a blind guy here and you're going to take care of him, what was your knee-jerk reaction?
I was scared. I was that I would mess up. I wouldn't know what to do. I was nervous of screwing up. And then, like, how am I going to do this? But then if you let the person with their disability lead and show you like, hey, it's okay to mess this up, or it's okay to step on my hair, whatever I did to you.
Yes, you either stepped on my hair or you put a kettlebell down on my hair, one or the other. For everyone listening, I have very long hair.
So I think that was important, is that the person with that disability is part of their life. They're comfortable, they're cool with it. And I think the people I've worked with have made that okay for me to be nervous or joke about it or whatever. And that really helped.
Well, you certainly masked the nervousness. I mean, I had fun with you. We flirted, we joked, we picked on each other. And it was a lot of fun. And, you know, I hated you for about 5 minutes when you didn't pass me, but I understood why. And actually, right. I was more angry with myself than anything else. But I would have never known you were nervous about it. So obviously, you dealt with a blind man. You've dealt with several deaf clients over the years. Have you ever dealt with anybody with any other disabilities in your training?
Special Olympics. I was a coach for track and field and a coach for powerlifting. And then we had one of our Special Olympic athletes, who an adult, come to boot camp. And that was, I mean, he was high functioning, but still, you just have to, it really, I think all of this has helped me be a better instructor, because I have to think of different ways to communicate the same thing. I think it helped me be more well-rounded as far as teaching and cues and drills and corrections and things like that.
Well, there's no how-to book when you're dealing with that, because each client, and you know this even going back to when you were doing with the boring in the global gym environment personal training, each person you deal with is going to be different. And you could have two perfectly normal-sided, healthy people, and one of them will understand what you're saying immediately, and one is going to go, huh?
Yeah, I've done like research on how people learn, because there's visual learners, there's auditory learners, and I can almost tell people that have jobs that are really involved in like computers and math and that type, you'll see, because when I explain something, their eyes will go up and they really think about it. And sometimes that's not a good thing, to think through something. And I have people, I could stand across the room and give auditory cues and they get it. Some people have to watch you do it, or I film them so they can see themselves. And then some people are very hands-on. You know, I may have to cue them by touching or using a stick or something. So, yeah, I
beat them with a stick.
Learn differently.
You beat your clients with a stick.
Yes, if it helps.
So tell me, are you like wearing black leather when you do this?
No, no.
Okay.
I save that for home.
Okay. Okay, so obviously you've had a lot of experience with a lot of different people, and you've become a very good instructor. You've become a good teacher. Let's take the step back. You found a kettlebell, you played with it, didn't know what you were doing, and you decided to start going through some education. Let's go through your certifications and your education and all of that.
Well, I was certified, just certified personal trainer. Now, I've heard of the RKC back when I was researching kettlebell certifications, but it was like over $2,000. I was like, that's insane. I would never spend that much money. So me and my brother found one that was really cheap. It was like, I don't know, $400 or something like that. I'm like, well, you know, I'm sure there's no difference. So we went to this $400 one in Miami, and I had really nothing to compare it to, except I came out of there injured.
That's not a good sign.
Right. We were so bruised, like we couldn't touch our forearms. And then, you know, we were like, that was really weird. I left and I felt like I didn't learn anything. And then after screwing up for several more months, I was like, I've just got to fork out the money and go to the RKC, because that was like the top of the top, you know, Mercedes-Benz of kettlebell certifications. So I forked out the money, and it was, you know, 3 days, 9-hour days. I had to train for it. So I started training. I met David Whitley, who I knew, who was a instructor. He helped me prepare for it, you know, just by email and stuff. And after like the first day, I was like, no wonder this costs so much. It was mind blowing. We spent like 5-6 hours on the swing alone, like correcting and cues and perfecting. And I was like, oh my God, why didn't I do this in the first place? It was totally different.
Who were your RKC instructors?
I had Doug Nepidol was my team leader. Ellen Stein was my assistant, and Betsy from North Carolina. And then Pavel was the master or chief instructor, and Brett Jones was there. It was huge. I mean, probably 60, 70 people.
I was going to say, I don't know any of those names until you said Pavel and Brett Jones.
Yeah.
Okay. And where is Pavel today?
I don't know. I'm not really sure. I know Brett Jones took over as, you know, they split. So there's the strong first. And then Brett Jones is the chief instructor. And then I stayed with the Dragon Door and the RKC.
I'm curious, because this is just an issue that I, just out of my own curiosity, when there was this big split, a lot of people followed Pavel.
Right.
And a lot of other people stayed. And was there an opportunity? Do you follow Pavel, or did you prefer to stay with the RKC, or?
I mean, everyone got to do what they wanted. I stayed because Dragon Door just had a history and a reputation. So I wanted to stay what was tried and true and successful. And it was hard because it was, you felt like your parents got divorced, you know, because half of my friends went one way. And I was like, oh, I want to go with them, but I really want to stay here. So it was, I think it was really hard on a lot of people, but I'm glad I stayed. Dragon Door has a great reputation and great instructors, and, you know, I've just been really happy with it.
Well, the split causes the opportunity for a lot of people like yourself to kind of move up in the ranks and the visibility, because before the split, you had your little core group of the Dragon Door stars.
Mm-hmm.
And people like yourself and Max Shank and Beth and some of the others, they were there, but now you guys have a chance to step up and to shine.
Yeah.
To become the stars.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a star, but yeah, I definitely have had a lot more opportunity to teach and assist and, you know, get promoted and things like that through Dragon Door, which is, you know, it's been a lot of fun.
That's great. I know you have some other certifications in addition to the kettlebell certification.
Right. I did the functional movement. It was CKFMS, and it was with Gray Cook, Brett Jones. So it was functional movement, how to assess movement, corrective exercises, using a kettlebell for correctives. And then I did Z Health, which is really cool stuff. It's neurology-based training. And I've had success, and I end up with clients that are probably more high maintenance, like that have had surgeries or injuries. So I end up with clients, most of my clients are like that. So I've been able to use like the Z Health and the FMS to help them move better and then get them out of pain so that, you know, now they're doing swings, their people are running again, you know, just doing the things they enjoy.
I'd like you to expand on the Z Health, is it? Because I honestly have never heard of it. So I'd like to know a little more about it.
That is, it's really interesting, and I'm probably not really good at explaining it. What it is it's neurology-based training. So everything starts with the central nervous system. Say if you had an injury on your left knee and you babied it, you compensated, well, your brain is protecting that area. So your brain will put the brakes on certain movements because it doesn't want you to hurt. So what you do with Z Health, and I only have the first two, I'm not like a master instructor or anything, and probably don't explain it well, but basically you are doing joint mobility to stimulate mechanoreceptors, which are nerves that communicate with the central nervous system, really to tell your central nervous system that everything's okay. It tells you your body where it is in space and time. So once you clear up your map, like if you had a 3D map of your body, you actually move better. And I didn't believe it. I thought it was all kind of crazy at first, but I stayed skeptical and went through it. And then when I started seeing results from my clients, like I've had clients with like peripheral neuropathy who could not walk except a walker. They couldn't feel from their knees down. So we would do joint mobility with the ankles and the feet. And if you think of your ankles, feet, hands, and wrists, those are, you have the most joints in those two areas. So there's a lot of room to stimulate mechanoreceptors in those joints. So mobilizing and doing certain drills to mobilize those increases your brain's, I guess, perception, so that it's hard to explain, so that you actually end up moving better. It's like clearing a map to your brain.
You're basically unclogging things.
Yes. So like with this lady, we did a lot with her ankles and feet, and I had to manipulate her feet and ankles for her, and she was able to walk. And she's like, oh my God, crying and everything. Now, the frustrating thing is a lot of people, like you get these miraculous results and it takes 5 minutes and yet they won't go home and do these on their own. I mean, if I found something that would cure me of something or get me off a walker, I'm going to be doing it like a million times a day. But I think people also are afraid to get better in some cases. Like it's easier to be on a walker. It's easier not to be sick, I guess.
It's sometimes easier to fail than to succeed.
Yeah, because
if you're sick, everybody's taking care of you when you're sick. Everybody's concerned about you when you're sick. And if you get better, well, you're just you again and they're on to something else.
Yeah.
We think in very screwed up ways.
Yeah. And then maybe more is expected of you. It's like, oh, well, I can walk, then I should be doing this, this, this. And maybe it's just easier to be like, ooh, I'd rather stay here. But yeah, the Z Health, if you look it up at zhealth.net, it is some of the coolest stuff I think I've ever done.
So it's all based on joint mobility.
Yeah, well, central nervous system. It's like clearing your body's map.
Right. But what you're saying is primarily based on joint mobility, and is it mostly manipulation or things that you can do, you can show a client to do?
Right. Now, like I said, there's all different levels. I've only done like the first two, but I mean, it's amazing stuff. They do stuff with your vision. You know, if your vestibular system is off, it throws off everything in your body because your brain wants to protect you. So even if your vestibular system is off, it's going to put the brake on your whole movement potential because it doesn't want you to get injured. So you can clear your map by doing things with your vestibular system, your eyes, and it's just instant. The results are instant, and that's what's so cool about it.
It sounds like something very cool, and I'm going to look into this further, and I will put a link to whatever information I find in the show notes to this in case anyone else is interested. You had mentioned before that you'd like to get a little more involved in your blogging, and you have a blog, but apparently you don't stay on top of it. You'd like to be a little more focused on that. I don't either. Believe me, I have a blog and I try very hard, but
I don't know why it's so. I think that I have to be in the mood to write. And I think the people who are really successful at blogging just write. But mine, what I find, especially in boot camp, I always get a call from people. It's like, I really want to do your program, or I really want to do the kettlebells, but I'm really getting old. And I'm like, oh, well, how old are you? And they'll be like, well, I'm 42. And I'm like, I just want to bash my head into the wall, you know, because I'm going to be 53 in June. And I think in my 50s, I am stronger than I've ever been. You know, for my 50th birthday, I flipped a 360-pound tractor tire 50 times. My blog is Super Strong Nana, and my thing is breaking the stereotypes of grandparents everywhere. Because we think, you know, once you get a certain age, well, you should go to the park and take little walks for exercise. And I think people don't realize that, I mean, like, the age really has nothing to do with your potential.
Absolutely. Look at Dan Johns competing in the Highland Games at 57. Mm-hmm. Clarence Bass, who was Mr. America over 40 years ago, is still training at 77 and looks amazing. There are so many great athletes in their 50s and 60s. It's almost easier at this age because you got less crap to focus on. And you can make it's fun at this time.
Right.
You're not doing it because I'm getting ready for the Olympics or try to be a pro or something. Now I'm doing it for me.
Right. And, you know, one of the things I realized is like when the kids got older, you know, when they were younger, it was like pick them up from school, take them to this sport, pick them up here, do this, do that, cook dinner, you know. And I think as our kids age and don't need us as much, it's like it's our time. It's like, yeah, I can go to the gym whenever I want to. I don't need to be home at a certain time. And you just have more time to devote to stuff. And I get to do what I want. It's like the older I get, the less I care what people think.
And that's really important because we waste so much energy worrying about trying to make people happy who are never going to be happy with us.
Right.
And that's actually kind of a good point to think about wrapping this up. But is there anything else you would like to say before we wrap this up?
No, I just, you know, if people are listening and they're older, your potential is still so incredible to do things you want to do. I mean, you know, run a marathon or, you know, powerlifting or travel or anything. I just hate that people put themselves in these little boxes according to their age, that they can't do certain things. It's like we can do and be whatever we want. And I just, you know, I just wish people would really understand that.
Well, that sounds like that's one of the things you're working towards, both by what you say and what you write and by your example of what you do. So couldn't be a better example. And on that note, I'm going to wrap this up and I'm going to say this is Bill with the Real World Fitness Podcast. And my guest today has been Laurel Blackburn, owner of Tallahassee Kettlebell. Is that correct?
Yeah, Tallahassee Kettlebells and Tallahassee Strength Club and Boot Camp Fitness and Training.
Okay, we'll put all of that in the show notes. And thank you very much, Laurel.
Well, thank you. It was great talking to you.
Well, I think there's some great advice there. Just because you're a little older is no reason to sit at home and do nothing. Sit in front of the TV, sit in front of the computer. Get up, get out, get active. It's a beautiful big world out there. Go out and enjoy it. If you're a little older, like we discussed, you don't have any responsibility. The kids are grown. Your responsibility is now to yourself. So there's a little less pressure on you. So you can go out and kind of investigate different things. Try a yoga class. Maybe that's not your thing. Try a spinning class. Maybe that's not your thing. Try a kettlebell class. Maybe classes aren't your thing either. Maybe it's just walking or swimming or going into the gym and lifting weights. It doesn't matter as long as you're physically doing something. Now, this week, I didn't get a ton of email, but I did get two emails asking me about the same topic, which kind of shocked me. Spinning is moderately popular. It's not the be-all and end-all, but I know there's a lot of people out there that love spinning. And it kind of surprised me that I got two emails this week, people asking me about spinning. One was about knee pain. And my answer to that is, A, I am not an expert on spinning. B, I am an expert on knee pain because of years of heavy weightlifting and doing squats and so forth. And but this person indicates that they love taking spinning, but their knees hurt. And do I have any suggestions? I'm going to give you a couple suggestions. One, check with your instructor and maybe try adjusting the height of your seat. Maybe you're bending your knees too much. Maybe you're bending your knees too little. Maybe you need to just adjust that seat height. Two, I would warm your knees up real good before class. You might even want to put something like Icy Hot or Mineral Ice or Bengay or some other sort of sports cream on those knees if they're really bothering you. And finally, if they really bother you a lot after class, you know, those periods where they tell you to turn the resistance all the way down and go as fast as you possibly can, don't do that. Turn the resistance down, but keep a little tension on it and go fast, but don't go to your limit. It's not that heavy grinding where they tell you to tighten up the resistance that puts a lot of strain on your knees as much as that going very, very fast where you can actually injure your knees. That's where the real strain is coming on your knees. And finally, you know, the old joke, doctor, it hurts when I do this, so don't do that. If the knees are really bad, maybe you just need to do something else. But try my suggestions and see if those help. And the other question was, what do I think about spinning classes for fat loss? It's as good as any other form of cardio, I suppose. I'm not a huge, huge fan of classes, but they work great for some people. You want to increase your amount of body fat that you're losing, clean up your eating habits, and do something to stimulate your heart, whether it's spinning, whether it's walking, whether it's strength training, it doesn't really matter. Spinning, as I said, is popular, but for me, if I wanted to ride a bicycle, I would contact the local bike shops and see if there's any bicycle clubs, tandem clubs, see if you can find somebody to ride with and go out and ride that bicycle in the fresh air rather than sitting in a room. Now, just to remind you, next week, my very, very special guest will be 5-time Mr. Universe winner, Bill Pearl. And come and check us out for that interview. It's a really good one. I'm very proud of it. Incidentally, Bill hasn't granted anyone an interview for over 10 years, and I really consider it an honor that he was willing to do this for me. You've been listening to Real World Fitness. I'm your host, Bill, and I'd like to wish you all a wonderful week and say we'll see you next week. Real World Fitness is a production of the Serotalk Podcast Network in cooperation with KosiabaFitness.com. All questions, comments, and feedback should be submitted to resources@serotalk.com. If you're listening on a mobile device, use your iBlink radio app to submit an iReport. Promotional consideration paid for by audible.com.